I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome back to Angel on Top, a podcast where we watch and discuss every episode of Angel, one by one, spoiler-free, and in tandem with our arch nemesis. I'm not even giving them a name. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to give them a name. I'm your co-host, LaToya Ferguson, a.k.a. the Cordelia Chase of the Buffering Verse, a.k.a. one half of the Gun Squad, bang bang, a.k.a. Forever Alone, a.k.a. Gwen Raiden's Red Hair Streak, a.k.a. Daddy, a.k.a. even more annoying new nicknames to come.
And I'm your co-host, Morgan Lunich, a.k.a. the Winifred Burkle of the Buffering Verse, a.k.a. the other half of the Gun Squad, pow pow, a.k.a. forever next to LaToya, giving her little kisses, even though she doesn't like them, a.k.a. Gwen Raiden's white hair streak, a.k.a. the little baby, I guess, if LaToya's daddy, a.k.a. even more annoying new nicknames to come.
And this week, we're watching Angel Season 4, Episode 20, ooh, Sacrifice. Sacrifice was written by Ben Edlund and directed by David Strayton. It aired on the WB on April 23rd, 2003.
And this is the one where Team Angel takes to the one place in Los Angeles that Jasmine has not taken over. The sewers.
Previously on Angel. No one actually says previously on Angel, but here's what happened. A mystical pregnancy right underneath Lauren's beak. Cordelia gives birth to Gina Torres, a power that was. Angel believes they've all been saved. All the people have come to see Jasmine. Fred scrubbed until her fingers bled, then yuck. Wesley, I can't believe Fred's evil. Fred shoots Jasmine to shoot Angel. The blood breaks the spell. Fred infected Angel. He's gone. They need more of Jasmine's blood to help the others. They use Cordy's. Time to get all our friends. Angel isn't going to leave without a son. Connor snitches on them. Then we immediately continue from the moment where Connor saw something and said something.
Again, so late in the game to do what we've been asking repeatedly.
But as I noted from the archives, I learned there is no previously on Angel in this episode. It gets right into it without seeing previously on Angel. And it wasn't until after I finished the episode that I realized why.
Why?
You want to guess?
Because we're not saying names because they're powerful?
Yeah, well, because saying the name takes away the power. You don't want to take away Angel's power right now. The powers that be were helping us out with this by not saying Angel's name.
Oh, cute. I like that. That's fun.
Right? Yeah. It was like literally, there was just a quiet spot. Not quiet, but like because it was going. But like it was clearly that like, it should have been there. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't there.
But it's just not.
And I was like, Ooh. And that's not the issue. Like, I don't have that issue with any other episode in my archives.
Ooh, spooky.
And this is also Ben Edlund's first episode of Angel, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
He's someone I consider so synonymous with this show.
Exactly. He was on Firefly, and then he hopped over, too. Mm. And this was his first official episode. Let the people know about Ben Edlund, Morgan.
Ben Edlund, I know primarily as the inventor of Bad Horse, which is a villain he kept pitching for Angel, which is that Angel fights an evil horse named Bad Horse.
So he was pitching that like in the tail half of season 4 of Angel to start things.
And I'm like a man after my own heart. Bad Horse was later used, as many of you probably know, in Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, where he was the big bad villain, and he has a little, like, cowboys that sing for him. Bad Horse absolutely owns. I don't have a bad thing to say about Bad Horse.
Ben Edlund, of course, also created The Tick.
Yes.
He is Mr. Tick Man. He then went on to write for Supernatural. He did a lot of fun stuff in that show. And a lot of stuff I was like, this has Edlund's fingerprints all over it. He wrote Hollywood Babylon, which is like their first meta episode. It's like the one where they're like on the tour of like the WB lot. And then like the person says, and if you look over there, you can see one of the stars of Gilmore Girls. And then Padalecki makes a face.
Okay, perfect. But for here, these purposes, a pretty grim episode with not a lot of laughs to speak for it.
But I will note the very clear Edlund moments in the episode. You'll all know.
Yes, please.
You'll all know. In terms of ratings, they went down, but they were still slightly above Dawson's Creek. 3.7 million viewers. We're still in the final stretch of Dawson's Creek, so we got 3.5. We got like a couple more episodes until like the two-part season finale. Pacey just lost all of Dawson's money, basically doing day trading. Pacey lost all of his money and Dawson's money. And then he just lost his job. He's fucking Sarah Shahi. You win some,
so
you lose some.
All bad.
Exactly. It was a 3-episode arc of him fucking Sarah Shahi. Like, good for him.
Congrats.
Was Pacey getting pegged by Sarah Shahi?
Quite possibly. Look, I wasn't watching, so I can't comment. But if I, you know, gun to my head, I have to answer. Absolutely, yes.
If anyone on Dawson's Creek was getting pegged, besides, of course, Jack, the gay man, it was Pacey Witter.
Oh, Pacey,
actually,
good for you.
No. If anyone, it's Dawson's dad.
I'll take your word for it.
Y'all know. Anyone who knows Dawson's Creek, y'all know I'm telling the truth.
Love and support to all the characters of Dawson's Creek. So this episode, though, I gotta say, a little bit of a downturn for me in terms of I loved our last two. And this one, I gotta say, was kind of like a regression for me. Like, everyone's sad again. Everyone's grumpy again. And obviously, that's how it had to be. But I can't believe Fred's finally talking about her feelings about something that happened 15 episodes ago.
It's interesting, and we'll get into it, because, like, they were turning the corner on the relationship, possibly getting back together, and then the Jasmine stuff hit. Mm-hmm. And now they're talking about it, and, like, that's actually pretty good. The thing that I think makes it the point of no return, though, is when he backhands the shit out of that stupid kid. And Fred's like, oh, but like, come on, Fred.
It's like he's saving that kid, but also...
It was too late, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was too late.
So he just like ruined everything for nothing.
Yeah, and it's also just like... I get very confused about, like, what the conflict is. If, like, he's too bad for her or she's too bad for him.
Because like, they're talking about, a lot of it's, like, talking about doing whatever you need to do. And then he does. What does she think he should do for this kid? Would like, she have been happy if he tased him? We know she loves doing that.
I'm sorry there wasn't any chloroform handy, Winifred. Like, stop clutching your pearls. It's the end of days. Sometimes you gotta smack a kid.
Please don't air this
out of context.
Watch the next episode and be like, when you smack that kid, it reminded me of that time you hit me. Remember that time you hit me? In the previously, it looked like you actually intentionally hit me.
Right. Cool. That's the level we're roughly at.
But at least Wes isn't any part of this.
Thank God Wes is talking to a spiny guy.
After Gunn saves his life, best friends doing the best friend thing.
Thank God. I need them back. Do you have any other big thoughts on this one before we dive into scene by scene?
I cannot wait to talk about the moment when the tinkle hits for Jasmine. Because there is some tinkle, baby. It's there.
I think
Connor's hearing it now. Even though he does end the episode. I said... Sound of Music ass at the end of last episode, and then he like full on is like flanked by Nazis.
Yep. Oh,
fucking
Connor.
Rolf.
We tried.
Rolf was the name of the Nazi, right? In Sound of Music.
I think it's Rolf. Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
The one that the kid played in the pacifier, and then Vin Diesel finds the Nazi armband in his locker and is like, what's going on? And then the kid is just secretly in a musical, not secretly a Nazi, but it's a really bizarre plotline for a children's movie.
I've not seen the pacifier.
I think about this a lot. I think about Vin Diesel, like, doing the, like, okay, you open the kid's locker and you find the Nazi armband. And I imagine all of the different takes he gave of, like, huh. And this is what I like to think about.
Of course. Also, I just get the funniest email, which is from Spectrum. Great news. Your secure, reliable internet is now 50% faster. My reliable internet?
Congratulations. Thank you, Spectrum.
I already paid for a very fast internet, and it's never been reliable.
Boo hiss. But we open our episode. We're picking up right where we left off. We're in that, like, abandoned Hyperion room. And Connor says, they're wrong, and he's going to tear them apart. Great.
Yeah, Angel's like, you have to listen to us. Listen to you. You're the ones who lie. You're the ones who hate. Which it's, I note this throughout the episode. It's like, it's interesting. And it's not just Connor. It's like, it's all about love. And the bad ones are the ones who choose hate. But their love is so warped that the amount of hate they have towards the people. It's like, at first, I mean, even Jasmine was like, we can't hate Fred because, yeah. But, and they were all still like, we want to kill her. But now it's just like, I don't know. It's not all lovey-dovey, guys. Wouldn't it be nice if it were? But it's not.
Yeah, it's not. Now it's starting. You're starting to see the edge a little bit more now her claws have sunk into everyone.
And then here comes the, all caps, cavalry.
There we go. See, that means a different thing. Everyone's running.
At work, in the room, people did say, here comes the cavalry. And I'm like, no. Is that the right one?
See, podcasting can teach you things.
Watching Angel nonstop over and over again can teach you things.
Teach you how to be sad. So Angel bars the door and he tells everybody to run. Connor says he's finally part of something and he won't let Angel ruin it. The mob surrounds them as Angel punches the shit out of his son and everyone else runs away.
Yeah, Angel tells them someone who knows the truth has to live through this, which obviously we'll get back to. But yeah, when Connor's yelling all that stuff, I'm like, okay, Colt. But yeah, he beats the shit out of Connor. And it does make sense. Maybe not at the moment, but it makes sense. Like, his plan is that to leave him so incapacitated, he can't hurt any of them. And, like, he can't... Because This is a kid who kidnapped a virgin and was like, time to do a slaughter. It's like, don't let him do any more things that he might eventually possibly regret.
Yeah. It's an attempt to save him from himself, but it's not fun for either of them.
He's hoping to put him in a coma because, as we know, Angel always holds back when he's fighting Connor. He was not holding back here. And unfortunately, it doesn't work. And also then Jasmine can heal him. That's new.
Yeah. Boo hiss. So then at the car, Team Angel minus Angel is debating how to help. And then Connor lands on their windshield. Angel hops in and he's like, drive.
Yeah. Really, really wanted Connor in that coma.
Yep. But we can't always get what we want. Jasmine and Co. approach and they're walking towards them slowly and with menace. And Wes peels out and we are officially on the run. So we cut to titles, we come back, we're in a car, we're listening to the car radio, and we've learned that Los Angeles has become the first citadel of Jasmine.
And at this point, I say, okay, no, national news must know about this.
Yeah, it really does feel like it, especially I feel like national news would know if all of the, quote, false idols, unquote, are being taken out of places of worship and replaced with pictures of Jasmine. I feel like this would start to make news other places.
I also, in my mind, like, this radio DJ is, like, the nationally syndicated Delilah. Like, she's gonna put on some easy listening after this.
I was gonna fucking say she had a Delilah-ass voice.
Yes.
I love Delilah. Delilah, if you're listening to this, and we know you are, come on the pod. Do you like Angel?
Delilah, if you're listening, let's play some Hoobastank.
Hell yes. So Lauren asks everyone, anyone feel like the last feisty wife in Stepford? But there are no leads, and Fred thinks they should have brought Connor. She's feeling guilty. Angel disagrees.
Fred, stop caring about children. You tased this boy.
Yeah, like,
he punched the shit out of you.
He did. Like, you don't have to be so worried about him.
Fred, you were just like, you were like Reba. You were a survivor. Like, you need to cut the shit.
Mm-hmm. Fred also, is like Reba.
I do want to say, when Delilah notes that the LA Archdiocese has stated, like, they're removing all the false idols and everything, and that's when Angel turns it off after, like, the way to go Catholic Church. I'm like, oh, you Catholic boy. And also, like, the way to go Catholic Church, I'm like, that's Edlund. That's Edlund right there.
Yes, way to go Catholic Church.
Like, the chipper way she's saying all of this is like, yeah, that's Ben Edlund.
Yep, you can feel it. So then in the Hyperion in Jasmine's room, she makes everybody, like, strip down so she can suck them up with her green light.
I call her feeding a Jasmine orgy. It has orgy, big orgy energy.
It truly does, except for the fact that Connor is passed out in the couch at the orgy.
That seems like an orgy to me. No one's going to let Connor fuck them.
Absolutely, but, like, bad I vibes. Wouldn't want him around. It would affect my ability to participate in the orgy, I would assume.
Jasmine should have pulled an angel and just, like, let him lay down outside. he was standing guard before. Yeah, just let him lay outside on the floor.
Absolutely. Or at least, you know, put, like, a lampshade over his head or something. But Connor comes to and Jasmine heals him. Connor wants to stop Team Angel, and Jasmine said there's no need. She's getting closer to her followers and gaining more control over them. And Team Angel are alone. There's, like, no one to help them. Like, it's only a matter of time.
She says, we're fusing together like the cells of a single body. Cool of her.
Like, warning, warning, warning.
They are my eyes, my skin, my limbs, and if need be, my fists.
Bad, bad, bad. And Connor's like, that all sounds great to me. Yeah, no,
he calls her indescribable. She's like, I know.
And she is, but, like, come on. Then Team Angel is at a gas station. They are low on gas. They need to get some if they're going to get out of the city.
They plan to, like, get the word out and form a resistance. I'm like with the Sunnydale crew. Because, again, I'm going to skip ahead real quick. Because she gets the governor to step down, Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is this is his era. You're telling me fucking E! News isn't talking about this shit? E! News is not talking about Jasmine? Juliana, at this point, she's not even Rancic. Juliana DePandy? You're telling me? Jules Asner? Steve Kometko? Writer of Logan Lucky, Jules Asner, is not talking about this on E! News right now?
It's being talked about.
You ever think about how Jules Asner wrote Logan Lucky and like they all did a whole pseudonym thing?
No, but I love that.
It's
Logan
like,
Lucky absolutely rips.
It does rip, and bless her and her love of like her and her marriage to Steven Soderbergh. They're a very talented duo.
Absolutely, fuck yeah! What a good movie. One of Adam Driver's cuter roles.
Are you writing a list? Is that your vampire diary?
I keep a list. Yeah. It's this. It's House of Gucci. So they're going to get out of Jasmine's sphere of influence and start a resistance. But they're surrounded by shiny, happy people who have been all Jasmineified. And if they're seen, they're fucked. Gunn goes up and, like, punches a dude who's just put his credit card in to get gas and, like, takes the nozzle from him.
It's so good and cool of him. And Fred has no problem with that.
Yeah.
And, he's not like he took glee in punching the kid.
No, it's not like he was like, ha, 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 I love doing this. He's like, I mean, we got to get this kid the fuck out of here.
Because he was yelling. He was yelling for help.
Yeah. You know, like kids do when you grab them.
Yeah.
Angel, like.
I just remember this is the second child Gunn has kidnapped this season.
And yet we love him. So, a dude, like, attacks them, speaking in Jasmine's voice.
And they're like, that's new.
Many others.
This scene is hilarious. Wesley fucking up the soccer mom. I'm like, that's also very Edlund.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, that's something, if you could see it on Supernatural in one of their goofier episodes. Yeah. It might be an Edlund. Fred beats the shit out of a homeless dude.
Yeah, it's a bummer. And then they all leave, pursued by cops.
I say this before it even happens with the kid. Gunn should beat up that little girl. That is in my notes.
You just wanted violence.
I wanted violence against a child from Gunn in particular.
Well, then this is the episode for you.
Lauren's upset there's no snacks.
Yeah, and I agree with Lauren. Like, snacks are really important if you're on the run.
And this we see Jasmine's evil laughing alone. I'm like, hot. She has a radiant smile, I gotta say.
She's gorgeous. Beautiful laugh. So, back in the car, Angel says, it's time we disappeared. We're going back to the sewers.
And this is when I notice Connor's blood all over the windshield.
Yeah, there's a lot of Connor's blood. It's on Angel. It's on the car. It's, it's grim.
Once I get into the sewer, I write Angel do a speech. He does not, unfortunately.
No.
He's not in a speech mood, actually.
Yeah, he, doesn't want to be a good leader right now. Both Gunn and Angel are getting pretty aggro in the sewer with each other.
But in Gunn's case, it makes sense, as we are later reminded, that Gunn is afraid of rats. And we do know this from him and Fred finding all those rats in that house, in that huge-ass bathroom that Gunn wanted to live in.
Yeah, he's scared.
But also, it's basically a jab at Angel. I ain't eating no rats. And he's like, neither am I. I'm like, are you sure? You love to eat rats. We all know it.
It's your favorite thing, Angel.
Gunn's like, you tell all the stories about all the times you eat rats. Like, what am I supposed to think?
I'm thinking he's saying, look, I won't eat rats, but there's, a little, bloody rat paw print on his chin because he's already eaten, four rats.
Just munching on him on the way through the sewer.
Everyone's like, ew. And he's like, I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
This is a good show.
Now for Angel to be like, I'm going to be Beige Angel again.
Mm-hmm.
Because that worked out so well last time.
So Beige Angel really comes out when Fred is like, oh, shit, Cordelia. Like, I almost forgot. We left her there. We have to go get her. And Angel says, forget about her. Like, we have no choice but to do that.
To be fair, Connor and Cordy are the most safe with Jasmine.
And I understand. And I write in my notes, now I know Angel is a practical guy in a very negative state of mind. But shut up, Joss. Don't tell me to forget Cordelia Chase. Do not put those words into these characters' mouths. I don't like it. You haven't given her, she hasn't had a line, she hasn't had shit to do except lay in her bed for episodes. I hate this.
Boreanaz delivers the line, but he's rolling his eyes into camera the whole time.
Very Shannon Doherty of him.
This is bullshit.
And then we see a pair of red eyes in the sewer. Blink, blink, watching everybody. I, of course, draw the eye emoji in my notes. Then, in Cordy's room, Connor's holding her hand. Jasmine comes in, and Connor's like, oh, look at this little cut on her hand that Fred and Angel did to get her blood. This is so fucked up. And I'm like, to be fair, they did, like, bandage it up. Yeah. Like, they brought stuff to, you know, take care of her.
Jasmine says, it horrifies me to see what they're capable of, how far they've let their hate take them. And I'm like, and Connor's feeling, what Connor is feeling isn't hate. Because, and this is where I bring up the all their love led them into hating dissenters.
Yes, absolutely.
But then Jasmine pulls the old Beastmaster play where she brings up magic. Because we know how Connor hates magic.
Magic's the real problem, as we all know. And Jasmine asks Connor if she can be alone with her mother. And I'm like, absolutely not. Do not allow this to happen. But he's a dumb little baby, so he allows that to happen.
He's actually 18.
Oh, I forgot. I'd like to fuck him then.
Pull that out. Double it.
Please do not. So then back in the sewer, Lauren and Fred have this little exchange. They're worrying about Cordy. Lauren calls Angel heartless, and Angel hears them and he says, "Hearts get in the way." I'm making a jerking off motion. Angel, I fucking hate this. I hate when he gets in this mode. I know he's a grumpy boy. Like, there's being emo, and then there's just being, like, contrary and being like, feelings are dumb. Like, no, feelings are cool. It's actually cool to have all the feelings.
I think the show agrees with you, because here's what I have in my notes, because as he continues on, if we don't gut ourselves, burn out everything inside that gave her power over us, then we're lost. And I write, like, hate isn't the answer. She wasn't able to prey on you because of your heart. It was because of the hopelessness all of you people feel, honestly. That's like, this, what you're feeling right now is the more extreme version of that. So, like, she could prey on you even more.
Yes, exactly.
It's because you wanted to believe in something instead of yourselves. So you, like, that's what's happening with Connor, clearly.
Yeah, you need to really, like, believe in something good and, like, rally around your mission again. So they all miss Jasmine. They're like, it's weird we had to give her a name and she didn't have another one. And Lauren says maybe it's something embarrassing, like Hester or Peanut. I love both those names.
Hester rules. Peanut sucks.
Peanut.
Wes also says he misses the warmth and knowing what's right, and that you're doing it just by loving her. Because, like, as we all know, Wesley and knowing what's right is a big issue, especially in season 3.
Wesley is desperate to have, like, that taken from him, to have things made simpler, because he's constantly overthinking things until they're so complicated. He's,
that's
like,
doing why he didn't close.
And shits. Yeah, like, baby boy.
But also, I'm laughing because Fred says, I remember the first time she took me aside, that time in the bowling alley, and I'm like, you mean a week ago?
Yeah. Ah, yes. Hard to even remember the details now.
It's like, I'm understanding the timeline, because, like, a week ago, that's when Jasmine showed up. 2 weeks ago, still no son.
God, it's been a month in Los Angeles, hasn't it?
Yes. That's the thing. It's been a month. That's why everything's still so fresh with Fred and Gunn. It's been a month.
Yes. Then Angel and Wes fall through the floor and into some kind of little trap. They manage to get Wes, like, out, but not Angel.
Gunn
He's stuck at the
Wes
bottom.
Out. Gunn gets Wes out.
Yeah, he does. He saves his best friend. And then suddenly we're surrounded by people with spears and long sticks.
And if you're not immediately like Gunn's people, otherwise you're just like, a lot of youths are out here hunting.
I call them in my notes affectionately sewer babies.
Sewer babies will make our dreams come true.
Yeah, yes.
Like that?
Yeah, exactly what I was going for. And Team Angel kicks some ass. Angel's like, wait, stop. Like, they're not acting like they're under Jasmine's influence.
Angel, of course, jumps on up because he's Angel. He could do that. Yes, we've all seen Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when Angel rips it off, it's, like, tasteful. Mm-hmm. When Charmed rips off the Matrix, would you call it tasteful, Morgan?
No, I would call it The Matrix, but worse, with Shannon Doherty in it, which is still great, in my opinion.
Still amazing, no notes.
The Matrix is so good, so it's cool to watch it again.
It's true, because Charmed did also steal Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and that's Phoebe's levitation. And how do you feel about that?
How do I feel about Phoebe's levitation or the theft?
Both.
I think Phoebe's levitation is hilarious. I think the theft is expected.
But yes, compare and contrast how the thievery worked on these two shows. Again, which show...
Better on Angel. I think it works a little better on Angel, yeah.
Just a little better.
Just a hair, yeah.
Okay, how long is this hair?
Have you ever met my good friend Rapunzel? Oh, God. We've got jokes. See, but season four isn't all grim.
But no one thinks he's a vampire for the way he just jumped out of a pit.
Everyone's like, wow, great.
There are superpowered people.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, maybe he's a slayer. But so it turns out, like, we realize that, like, Gunn knew one of these guys, Randall, as a kid. He stole Gunn's van when he was 12, which is cute. And unfortunately, these people are, you know, like, they're surviving in the sewer, but they are under attack by something spooky that makes a big sound. And they
it's Skitters.
It's back.
The Skittering is back, baby.
The Skittering has returned, and the Angel writers' love of using the word skittering. And
Angel season four, the Skittering.
I'm so happy to have it back.
I know you are, you little freak.
Yeah. Then back in the Hyperion in Cordy's room, Connor walks in to check on Jasmine, and Cordy's gone. Good, right? Normal, right?
Jasmine says it's good and normal.
So we have no reason not to believe her. She says Cordy's blood is dangerous to them. If she falls into hateful hands, then the hate can spread. Sounds like clean logic to me. Mm-hmm. And to Connor. Connor's like, well, where is she? And Jasmine says, where I want her to be. Fuck. And she's like, and so are you. I write in my notes, yikes.
I write in my notes, the incest vibes. Connor loves it. But I also write in my notes, who is Connor more obsessed with, huh? Jasmine or Cordelia? Because I feel like that's going to be tipping the scales here.
I would argue Jasmine is, like, reciprocating his affections a lot more than a lot more consistently than Cordy ever did.
Because he hasn't processed, nor does he realize, because he didn't listen, that Cordelia was never Cordelia. She was always Jasmine in the context that he is familiar with her, really.
Yeah, that hasn't really been unpacked.
He doesn't know that.
By him. Yeah, he doesn't, he does not, or no, he isn't registered.
No, because he, like, Cordy used to say that. It's like, yeah, because she was Jasmine. Because Angel tried to explain, and that's when he beat the shit out of Fred and everything, and he was like, yeah, and he ran away, but yeah.
What a cool kid.
Yeah, he never got the confirmation that she's not her. Like, and like he, I mean, maybe they said it, but like, he didn't listen.
Sounds like him. Our next scene takes place in the sewer baby's sewer lair. Randall's brother, who Gunn used to work with, led kind of a group that split off from Gunn's gang. Mm-hmm. And Randall said they tried to stay topside after the sun went out, but there were too many vampires.
Which was 2 weeks ago. Is when 2 weeks ago is was when the sun went out, or when the sun was like about to. Like, when it popped back. I have it. It's somewhere in my notes. I'll find it later. But also, we should note Randall. They call him by his last name here. So they keep calling him Golden, even after Golden. They're like, it's Randall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, he's apparently dating that white girl.
Oh, Holly.
I just know them as the white girl, the kid, Matthew, the goth one who looks like Mickey Milkovich.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, really? You're going to point a stick at a vampire? You? Goth ass bitch.
Little tiny ass bitch. So then Angel talks to the little boy, Matthew. Matthew assures Angel that, like, all the entrances to their sewer lair are, like, cased off. And Angel's like, well, I'm checking them. Cool, Angel. Awesome to get aggro at a child.
Here's the thing. This kid immediately is, like, trying to impress Angel. And he, like, he thinks he's cool. He doesn't know he's a vampire because somehow they didn't realize it. But, like, he thinks he's, like, actually fucking cool. And he's like, I'm going to talk to him. I'm like, should I say this kid's bi for Boreanaz? I'm not sexualizing a child. It's possible to know that you're queer at a young age.
It's true. It's definitely what we're seeing is like some kind of like instant hero worship.
Yes.
If not anything else, like this kid is like, oh, cool. Like Angel, like a hero. Yeah. And who
hero worship counts.
Great.
Play the goddamn jingle.
He's got a booty stare and hot spiky hair. If you're straight or gay, your tingly feelings don't care. You're just being honest about this sexy demonic in your bi for Boreanaz. Bi for Boreanaz. Bi for Boreanaz.
It's back. The jingle's back. Are you happy now?
Me,
Michelle
I
Branch.
Am. Golden explains they found Matthew in a car wreck engineered by vampires who Matthew watched kill his parents. Grim.
Yeah, so they've been down here for 2 weeks. So I think they actually got in just at the tail end of the sun being like out.
Yeah.
So they didn't know.
Real late in the game. They could have been up there for a long time, but it's good that they're down here because of Jasmine.
Yes, actually.
But
it was probably let's just assume it's Bowling Alley Bistro vampires. They're the ones who did it.
Oh, classic. Those monsters.
They got there like, look, everything's great. Sun comes back. Fuck.
They really had it for a minute. So they say that whatever this monster is, this thing, it's picking them off one by one. Yikes. With Angel and Matthew. Angel washes, like, his own child's blood off his hands, and Matthew asks him about it, and Angel says it's from someone he used to know who tried to hurt his friends. Yeah, our boy is hardening his heart.
He's right. Honestly, at this point, he's right to choose his friends over his son.
Well, he's right to do that, but I think, like, I'm never gonna have a feeling
I think he's He's not soft, but I think, like, there's emotion behind the way he says the line where it's, like, he's trying to harden himself, but, like, no.
Yeah, it's hard. The sewer babies just, like, feel like the world's ending, and they want to kill this thing before it kills them and try to survive if they can.
Yeah, then Angel being like, okay, let's do it. That's him trying to, like, harden himself up again. He's feeling emotions.
Yeah, Angel's like, a fight? I'm fucking in. He grabs Tommy, which is Golden's older brother, who's, like, now gone. He grabs his old machete, and they're like, hey, that was my brother's. And he's like, it's fucking mine now. Angel.
I know later Fred's like, they're kids. Angel's, like, being an asshole, but I kind of wish Gunn would have chimed in, because, like, he was a kid. Like, this is an offshoot of his crew. And, and if maybe he was like, they're just kids, but, like, it'd be like, I don't know, growth, or maybe also just him forgetting how hard it is here because, like, no one's going to come help, you know, them and where they live. So, but, I wish there was a little, I mean, this episode packs in a bunch of stuff, actually, but, like, there's so much in, like, this arc and in the season in general. It's, like, a lot of the stuff we wish for, it's, like, there's not that much time to do it, too.
There isn't because it's also compressed, yeah.
There is. Again, there was time for the Gunn Connor stuff we wanted, or even any Wes Connor stuff, but they hate us. There's time for more Jasmine and Justine together. There was time for that, of course.
Please.
But yeah, it's just, like...
It's hard.
Fred, I feel like, in a way, and like, I don't even have a problem with Fred in this episode. Like, she's getting more, like, meeker again after being the champion she was last episode.
Yeah, it feels a little...
Like, she's falling in line.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's trying to look to Angel, and Angel is trying to lead, but he, like, is so closed off because of the pain that he's going through. He can't really offer them the, like, support that they want. And especially, like, no one is a replacement for Jasmine's, you know, like, warmth and light and the sense of purpose she gave them.
Yeah. Also, I was thinking about when I was re-listening to last episode about how their Angel's like, oh, wow, Fred actually learned stuff from us. I was just remembering in Fredless how Fred's parents called, like, I got a PI to find them, even without, like, like an address or anything like that.
On the envelope. And, like,
yeah, an actual PI. It's like, wow, Fred's also become an actual PI. Not because of them. I don't know how it happened.
Gunn's disbelief at their ability at the ability to, like, track the envelope without a return address on it. Take me back. Take me back to the beginning.
Should we just, like, talk about Fredless?
Yeah, rock and rolls. Her parents make me weep.
Love them. Her mom's a bus driver.
Yeah, and she drives the bus. It's so great. Our next scene is in Jasmine's room. Connor wants to go out there, get Team Angel. Jasmine says soon, and he'll go of her strength behind him. Ooh. This is where she's like, yeah, I just got off the phone with the governor. Like, all the power's going to me. Woo.
The governator. This will be national, international news.
I'm just resisting the urge to do a really bad Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Do it.
No, I really can't.
I can't either, but I was thinking of either. Jasmine.
Jasmine.
I want you to become governor.
Governor. Yeah, I feel like this is not sensitive. But I wish
we could do an impression of an Austrian.
Yeah, I guess you're right. If it's just, I have no skill at it.
I've never done it before in my life. This is the first time I've even tried it. You? I've never tried it before either.
Nor have I. So, yeah. I think it was pretty good.
You guys are witnessing us workshop this impression that we will use over and over again.
And if you think about it, we're pretty good for no practice.
Yeah. We did this cold.
Yeah. So, like, before you judge, think about that.
Speaking of not judging, Jasmine says the time of the politician is over. And I said, good.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I fucking wish Gina Torres was our government.
Well, she says the state now interests me. I'm like, but she says state, not city. Mm-hmm. What's happening in Sunnydale? Turn on the goddamn TV. Listen to Delilah on the radio.
Your tell me state. Now, one of those motherfuckers is listening to Delilah. Late at night when they're driving back from the fucking vineyard or something.
Apologies. The Chinese one who is the butt of racist jokes. She's actually the one who is listening and she knows what's going on.
Well, good for her. I hope that she's taking measures to protect herself and none of the, like, shitty racist people around her.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
So, Jasmine monologues about their perfect future and her power, and ominous music starts playing. Always a good sign.
Here we... I need to do some quoting.
Please.
Because as she's saying this, the state answers to me, and Cutter's clearly not pleased, even though she is. And she says, oh, it's happening. Don't you feel it? The world is about to kneel before me. You know, all things good people say. Mm-hmm. And she, all its avarice? A word I don't know, actually. All its woe. Do you know avarice?
I know. It's like, it's. I think it's close to cowardice. Avarice. Yeah, let me look. Oh, sorry. It's extreme greed for wealth or material gain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know.
Ben Edlund knows big old words, baby. She says, I will free them from the loneliness, from the empty horror of their lives. I mean, look at Connor. He doesn't seem fine. Then she chuckles and says they won't know what hit them. And he's like, I'm sure of that. And then I write in all caps, the tinkle.
Oh, it returns with a vengeance.
I think he's hearing the tinkle now.
I think he is starting he's
denying it, obviously, because he's fine to be her Nazi general.
Yeah.
But he's hearing the tinkle. We're all hearing the tinkle.
Each and every one of us, she says, will be a family together as one forever. But why isn't Connor happy?
I don't know. She clearly wants to fuck him, though, also.
Yeah, that which I can't. We don't have time to get into that. I don't have time to engage in that.
Engage.
No, you can't make me.
But yeah, Jasmine is preparing for total domination.
Domination. And Jasmine says there's a part of Connor that he is keeping from her. It's his pain. She wants it. And she digs her nails into his palm and like is, you know, drawing blood. And she says, let me have it. And he goes, yeah, okay.
She makes a very good point. Pain has been the only constant in your life. The one thing that has never abandoned you. He thinks that pain is a keep and bear alone. Yeah, that's why he won't get therapy. But also, she gets the marks, but nothing suggests she gets the pain. It's fake. It's a facsimile, literally.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So she's getting like a physical instance of his pain, but maybe not all of the.
Because at this point, especially, I don't think she feels pain.
Oh yeah, like she's not a lot's going to weaken her at this moment. We go to the sewers. Fred is not into fighting with a bunch of little babies for the safety of such little babies.
I guess she never knew little baby Gunn and his whole team was kids. Like, the one who engaged with that besides Angel, obviously, was Cordelia.
But I'm also like, didn't you ever talk and to Wes Gunn about his past?
He told her stories, but like,
yeah.
I feel like she never had to really contextualize the fact that he was a child doing this, really.
Yeah. I think, you know, that's one thing to hear about and another thing to experience.
I think he only talked about the trauma of it all when it came to his sister, but not, I think he was like, and I did this cool hero shit.
Yeah. And so I guess like that tells you a lot about how she views Gunn's past. Like she views it as something that was a trauma to him and probably like something unnecessary. Like she wishes an adult could have taken care of him instead. But the thing is, Gunn was working with what he had. So I do agree with you that I wish we got his perspective on these people and like their struggle more, because I do think it'd be like, okay, yeah, in an ideal world, we'd be fighting with adults, but like you do what you can. And if these people need to protect themselves to survive, and you shouldn't demonize that.
Especially since Gunn was like, he was fighting demons since he was like Matthew's age.
Yeah. So he would have a perspective on it. And I wish that was like illuminated here. On the other hand, Angel is like, these babies are the only ones that understand me. And he is so angry.
He does make a point, though, like with all the hopelessness, as we're talking about, like they just want to be able to fight back and they should give them that choice.
Yeah. They smell ammonia. They,
also, Golden and them are allowing Matthew to even show up. Like, obviously, Golden is younger than Gunn, but, like, he's not 13 years old.
Yeah.
Like, they could have told Matthew to, like, hang back at base camp.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, but, like, if anything, his vengeance is against vampires. So you don't need to be going against the skitterer.
Crawling after the spiny guy. But I guess maybe it's like strength in numbers or something. Like, you don't want to leave him by himself. So it smells like ammonia. Randall gets sucked up. An angel saves him. He jumps up like to fight the thing and then jumps back down. And he is in vamp phase.
Yeah, he jumped up. Not like just like a hop.
No, big ol' like crouching tiger jump, wire jump.
And they're like, that's a normal thing.
but when he comes back down in a vampire face, that's when we need to be worried. So
I can understand Matthew running. It's not even like not knowing he's a vampire. It's like the seeing the face and that this is the thing that killed his parents.
Oh, yeah. He's scared.
At this point, though, with Golden, it's like, again, you're an offshoot of Gunn's crew. Everyone knows the deal with Charles Gunn and his vampire boss and vampire with a soul and everything.
Yeah, like, you didn't hear? Like, does no one gossip with you?
Do you know about what Gio did to Caritas?
Oh.
<You got eaten.
laughs> Oh, Gio. Then
Morgan, what were your thoughts on Gio? We never talked about this.
God,
that whole interpretation.
I'm trying to remember. I listened to your and Mac's episode about it, and I remember just thinking, like, everything you guys were saying was smart and good. But what was, like, I remember the episode being a bit simplistic about the commentary it was trying to have. And I was really bummed because I think the failure of that episode taught the Angel writers that they shouldn't try to write stories about Gunn. And I'm like, well, to a certain extent, maybe that is the correct lesson to learn because clearly you can't. But on the other hand, no, that's not fair to Gunn, who deserves dimension and backstory and, like, exploration of the world that created him. Again, I'm a first impressions girl first. and everything else second. Like, I just so I can't remember, like, the specifics of everything Gio did, but I remember being like, yeah, this episode in theory is a good idea, but the execution is, like, completely fucked.
Yeah, it's especially disappointing, you know, as we're doing this rewatch and everything. Mm-hmm. We all know how capable of an actor J. August Richards is.
Yes.
And it's not like this show doesn't know that. And especially, like, in the next season, we'll see, like the show knows that he has range and everything. Mm-hmm. And, like, we've talked about, like, a lot of it also is, like, it's not just the show itself. It is a hamstringing by the white B, the WB.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's like they want something. They're not going to allow more things
which sucks.
As a network. But it's just it is crazy again because, like, Angel, it created a lot of things that, like, are in television now. Like, it is, like, the origin point for a lot of things in television now. But with being, like, the trailblazer, like, you have to go back and you have to see things. They're like, and this could have been better. It's like, well, it was. Imagine, like, look at all the other great things they're doing that people have stolen from, and, like, how TV is now. But it's just like, but why couldn't it have been perfect?
Yeah, and it's hard. I mean, like, which is why it's important to, like, go through the context and, like, think about the time and all the stuff that you've taught me about the WB and how that network handled race. And I think I still have a lot more to learn in that area. And I think that it's just, like, it just bums me out sometimes to look at in, like, a present day context, because I just really, like, Gunn deserves so much more. But also, like, for the time, everything that we got from Gunn is so impressive, given what was going on other shows and how few Black characters and Black series regulars there were on the WB at the time. The fact that Gunn gets as much dimension and care as he does get is really impressive. But I still wish and want for more.
Yeah.
Julie Plec, Marguerite McIntyre, you give him good stuff to do in Vampire Academy or Catch These Hands.
What? I mean, you use his blood for every magical spell there is?
Nope.
Even without his consent?
If a bunch of white people be like, good thing we have a bunch of vials of his blood laying around.
Wait, so you want him to be a complete mute and never say a single word, right?
Nope. That's not it.
You want him to be related to every Black vampire who shows up, right?
Nope, that is also not it.
I don't understand you.
I would like him treated with the gentle deference of Jeremy Gilbert. There, even when he doesn't have to be.
You know, force this character down our fucking throats.
Given as many haircuts as he likes.
J-August Richards with a different hairstyle every episode.
Given as many excuses to get jacked as he wants. I want the best for him. Did you see that new trailer today? I was like,
I did not. I've been going back and forth from home in Pasadena all day. Yeah.
Not like super new, not like a bunch of stuff, but like it's another like trailer. I was like, all right, cool. So Fred and Gunn run after Matthew. They want to keep him from reaching the surface and, you know, like potentially getting, you know, Jasmine-ified. Then everyone who's remaining looks around and is like, wait, where's Wes? Cut to Wes has been beset upon by a big spiny guy. He like looks like Dwayne Johnson in The Scorpion King, but like much
better.
but better better VFX and like with all this shit sticking out of him. But that's kind of roughly what to imagine, like a spider centaur kind of a thing.
He is also one of the Watchers Council's Black Ops team guys, because we just keep seeing them in everything we watch. We just saw him in Apocalypse Not on Charmed, so.
Hell yeah, I recognize his voice, and I was like, what the fuck?
So, yeah, because he's the one that Jill was, like, feeling.
Ooh, we love it. So the spiny guy insists to Wes that we loved her first, which is, you know, like Wes is like, okay, yeah, you loved her first.
Congratulations. She's all yours.
But, okay, let me go.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Misunderstanding. So then in the sewer, Angel's like, I'm going to track him down. But none of the like sewer babies want to work with him. They're not interested in working with a vampire, which, you know, fair. They don't know he has a soul and is nice sometimes.
And this is what I said. Even the goth one who looks like Mickey Milkovich from Shameless.
He is not giving Angel any quarter. So back with Wes and Spiny. Wes is like, oh, Jasmine. You're talking about Jasmine. We call her Jasmine. Spiny calls her the devourer, the song, the peace, the whole. And he like seems really pissed that they named her and that they named her something else.
Yeah. How dare you? Yeah. You try to name her.
Kind.
Before your kind was, my kind loved her. Then he skewers up his cave wall. Mm-hmm. He has a cave wall in a sewer.
Good for him.
He says love is sacrifice. That's cool.
Yeah, and I'm like, I do agree. That is emo as hell.
I've heard love is blindness, but also sacrifice.
I've heard it's a battlefield. We are strong. No one can tell us we're up.
You guys love this. You love all of this.
Yeah, remember 13 going on 30?
Heard of it.
So then in the sewers with Gunn and Fred, they're watching out for the skittering creatures. Rats come up. Gunn is like, well, damn, why would you bring that up?
He doesn't care about the skittering demon. He's like, fucking rat. Gunn, it's the sewer. There's rats all around.
There might be
an alligator, but there's mostly rats.
I love him. I relate to him. I'd be like, just because there probably are rats does not mean we have to talk about them. Does not mean we have to give that voice. So
if you name them, you give them power.
Yes.
For rats, if you name them, you do give them power instead of taking away their power.
True. So they were like, they're talking about how just yesterday they were so happy. And Fred is like, Matthew must be so scared. And Gunn reminds her, like, and Gunn replies.
You heard Angel. Feelings don't enter into it anymore.
That the world we're fighting for? The right to be heartless and uncaring shell, to be dead inside?
We're going to be dead, period, if Jasmine gets a hold of that kid. We're fighting for our survival.
That's not enough, Charles. Not for me. Maybe you can turn off your feelings like Angel can. Leave the people we care about behind.
Yeah, we had no trouble turning off your emotion chip when...
When what?
Nothing.
What were you going to say?
Forget it.
No, when did I
when
ever...
When you and I killed a man.
And this is where he's, like, making a Star Trek reference to, like, her, like, feelings chip or whatever. And I'm like, stop making him a dweeb.
Oh, you don't like that shit?
I don't like when, because I just don't believe that Gunn watches Star Trek, but like,
we know he's a cinephile, but Star Trek, I don't know, maybe he's watched the movies.
Maybe the movies, yeah, because he's like talking about Data from Star Trek, and I'm like, I don't know anything about that. I had to look this up in the fandom wiki.
The thing I know about Data from Star Trek is that he scared me as a child. It's the pupils. Lack of pupils.
He's a spooky guy.
He's too smooth. He's too smooth.
Well, yeah, because he's a robot. He's not right.
Add it to the list of my traumas as a child. All the television things that I haven't watched when I should because I'm so scared.
The Slice. Data. So Gunn is accused Fred of like not feeling anything about the guy that they killed, and she's like, hey, I fucking felt it. I felt all of it when it happened. I still feel it now when I let myself think about it. It eats me up inside. But
hey, Fred, remember how Gunn kept trying to talk about it?
Yeah, and you didn't want to. And she says, but that's better than being a shell. And I'm like, okay, how am I hearing about her perspective on this for the first time in 15 fucking episodes? Why doesn't she not express, I couldn't talk to you about it at the time because X, because I was in denial. I was like, I don't understand how the conversation agenda is dropped.
You know why.
Here.
The agenda.
I mean, also, I know why.
It is funny, though, because we say in 15 episodes, but again, it wasn't like, it's like 2 months ago. Like, it wasn't that long ago as a thing.
I understand that it's not that long ago in time, but the amount of time, like episodes wise, does matter, even though it's like a binge. Like in terms of the real estate this has mm-hmm. been given in all of these episodes, I do think it is significant to mention, you know, the count.
It is. It's one of those things where, like, in terms of, like, you know, show chronology, like, actually, it's not that much time has passed. Like, it makes sense that, like, she'll talk about it now, but also, it's a 22-episode season.
Yeah. Like, and she has spent 15 episodes of this 22-episode season not talking about the most significant thing that happened to her.
Then again, mm-hmm. it's not until Buffy season 7
yeah.
that Buffy brings up the Willow says kick his ass thing. So
I love that. Like, I love the way that's been buried. And when Willow goes, what? I'm like, dig in, investigate.
I don't love that because they don't dig in, because literally it's what? Moving on.
Everyone.
It's because they're like, oh yeah, we have to address this finally, possibly. Then we move on immediately because Buffy's like, I should kill Anya.
Boo hiss. Shut up. Every single potential slayer in that fucking house should walk up to Xander and should bitch slap him for Willow said kick his ass.
I mean, they should bitch slap him for a lot of things.
And for the dream. Pillow dream, yeah.
Yeah.
The pillow fight dream. Gross.
Rachel Bilson returns just to do that and it goes back to the OC.
Please. They are off to get the small boy, though. Like, that's what matters here. Not the
oh, yeah, I guess, sure. You
know, not the drama that's happened between them that I'm tuning in to watch.
You're like, I really, we need to see about the small boy.
Of course.
He's already dead.
I'm like, that kid's fucked. Like, just, you know, have your drama.
Like, because he was going out thinking the sun was still, like, blacked out. So he was going to be dead anyway.
Also, how can they not outrun a child? He did not get that much of a head start. They are adults. Their legs are longer.
They are in shape adults.
Yeah, supposedly.
They're professional monster killers.
Like, this is bullshit. I'm sorry. Cinema sin. No.
Dang. Shut the fuck up. No, they talk a lot about who knows the sewers and who doesn't. Like, he knows the sewers better.
All right, he knows.
He probably exited from a different place from where they exited, actually.
All right, he knows the sewers. Fine.
That's like a big part of this episode. Who knows the sewers and who doesn't?
All right, you're right. Back with Angel in the sewer, he like tries to explain. He's like, look, I'm trying to explain, but like I'm also not going to justify my fucking existence to you. And I'm like, you might need to, dude. Like,
and Lauren's not helping.
Lauren is not helping at all. He is trying, but he is not helping. And Angel just makes a bunch of threats to these people, which I don't think is a good idea. Then, topside, Fred and Gunn are getting out of the sewers. They're walking around. They're in the sunlight. And so far, they have not come across anyone. They hide from some skateboarders, which you can relate. Then with Wes and Spiny, Wes watches him cut up a guy that he's sacrificing because he does blood magic. There's no words to it. He's from this other world, this older world.
Another dimension.
Yeah. And he's going to get Jasmine's attention through this blood and flesh magic that is beyond words. And he says that also words are bullshit. There's only one word that could mean anything to her.
Yeah. Yeah. He says this magic she will hear. There's only one word she. Whoops.
And Wes is like, excuse me, what is this one word? Like, he's like, I know a clue when I hear one. I'm a very smart, crafty little boy. And he tries to press Spiny on this, but Spiny calls him talkie meat, which would shut me up as well.
The talkie meat. And I remembered so vividly, when I think about this episode, I remember so vividly him, like, dissecting this dude who's a vampire. A vampire he doesn't understand why isn't dying.
Yes.
Even when Wesley explains it.
He's like, he's dead already. You can't kill him like that. And this guy's like, what are you doing? Like, cut it out, man.
Just stake me already.
Like, please. And in talking to Spiny, Wes realizes that the one word that Jasmine could care about is her name, her real name. Then above ground, Fred and Gunn find Matthew and they try to just grab him. But this kid fucking knows about stranger danger. He's calling for help. Good job, kid. Gunn knocks him the fuck out and Fred is horrified. And I'm like, yeah, but like, it's a hard time. Like, you got to do something.
But also, the funny part of the scene is not that. Mm-hmm. It is when the kid's like, you didn't tell me the sun came back out. Gunn says, yeah, I forgot to tell you. The sun came back out.
It's like, what were you going to do about it? You still have to stay down in the sewers because of Jasmine. So then back with Wes and Spiny, like, it's explained she needed to be named something fake because, like, she can't come up with the name herself. They say, like, a high priestess would know her name, not Spiny.
High priest, right?
Oh, sorry, high priest. You're absolutely a high priest. Feminism has rotted my brain. I assumed it would be a woman. High priest.
The doctor's a woman, though.
The doctor's a woman, not the priest. Spiny doesn't know the name, but a high priest would. And Angel shows up to save the day in the sewer lair. Meanwhile, Lorne is teaching the sewer babies a little bit about tolerance.
How words hurt.
And that's why when we use words like ugly ass and beastie, we can sometimes do more damage than we intend to. It ain't all about sticks and stones, my young friends. That's all. A little life lesson, one to grow on. Knowing is half.
Shut up.
Gunn returns with an unconscious child, and Randall doesn't appreciate the secrecy or the weirdness. He's like, no thanks to any of this. And unfortunately, Matthew comes to, and he starts laughing. Our little boy got Jasmined.
Yeah, laughing with Gina Torres's laugh.
It's unsettling. And he says, I see you in her voice, which is also unsettling.
Don't care for it.
And Jasmine turns the sewer babies against Team Angel, and they have to run. And then they run right into the fucking army being led by Connor, who's also speaking
the army
with Jasmine's
National
voice.
Guard.
Yeah.
I've heard that with the Army National Guard, you can. I've heard that.
I have heard that. back at Angel versus Spiny, he impales Angel and gets rid of his sword. Wes, like, saves Angel by hitting Spiny over the head, and Angel is able to kill Spiny with, I think, like, one of his own, like, claws that came off. And Wes goes over to this, like, crystal ball that Spiny had been looking at. He says
he called it the key, because he had said earlier that, yeah, sure, Wes, you can use the key, as soon as you get into my world, you can't fucking breathe.
Yeah. Stupid ass bitch. Lame ass human. And so this crystal ball contains the entrance to Spiny's world. This is the break they've been looking for. Then.
Finally.
In the sewer, Team Angel's running. With Angel and Wes, they're looking at that orb. They're like, the high priest has Jasmine's name, which is what we'll be able to use against her. And he's probably very scary. I agree.
Don't know why to use it. Don't know how to use the key either. That's part of it.
Not at all. Then Angel can sense Connor. Then we see Connor, who can sense Angel.
And then because Connor can sense Angel, Jasmine can sense Angel.
Amazing.
The levels. Literally, in parentheses, the levels, exclamation point.
Absolutely. But back at Spiney's hideout, Team Angel finally all reunites there. Wes is trying to crack this wordless magic, and he's like, oh, fucking blood magic. And he smears his blood on the little orb. It opens a portal, and Angel's like, cool, let's run. And they're like, no, we can't breathe there. Angel, you're the only one who could possibly survive it. And someone who knows what's going on has to survive this.
He's using his words against him.
So they all bar the door for him while he goes through the portal. Yeah.
Fred also says, don't let your heart get in the way. Got his ass.
Got him. We see Jasmine, the fight breaks out, and we see Jasmine alone laughing, and you see her getting cut and healing.
Insane. Cut and healing. Awesome.
Over and over again. Fucking
awesome
rules.
And insane.
Absolutely rips. And then in Spiney's world, Angel's there. It looks better than the charmed wasteland that Cole's hanging out in when he's dead, but not by much.
I think it's another comp to, in this case, Evil Dead 3, Army of Darkness. I think that's what the reference is.
Oh, okay. They're trying to look like Army of Darkness. Okay, tight. Yeah. And Angel's surrounded by spooky, spiny guys, and it's not looking good for our hero.
Oh, hell.
And that's our up.
It is.
So, is it time for Fuck Watch?
I believe it is, now that we've seen all of our options, even in another dimension.
Yeah.
Fuckwatch.
I know who I'm fucking.
Who?
Holly the sewer girl, parentheses, after two showers and one bath. And those can be in whatever order she chooses.
I did not care for her.
I was not particularly besotted, but it was what I had. I worked with what I had.
I guess I'll cheat. It's just what you do all the time. All of Team Angel, our friends are back together. Orgy, baby. If Jasmine can do it, so can I.
All right, congrats.
Orgy.
Now, Angel's in some kind of spiny hell dimension. If he could find a TV there, is there anything you'd recommend he watch?
From the WB?
Yeah, I think from the WB, that'd be nice.
Hit it, bitch.
Angel is a vampire. Does he even like TV?
I think he'll like the WB.
They got that hot teen drama to ease the pain and trauma. And here's the episode that he needs to see.
So, in, all this talk in this episode of names, how names take away your power, I decided to, for WB, choose all of the shows from the WB that were titled after their star's name.
Okay.
So, here's a list, and we'll see. Did it take away their power to have the show named after them? We'll find out.
Let's find out.
First show, Cleghorn, exclamation point, starring Saturday Night Live's Ellen Cleghorn. It lasted one season. Took away her power. Kirk, starring Kirk Cameron.
Oh.
It surprisingly lasts two seasons and 32 episodes, but still, It seems like, actually, no. Unfortunately, nothing has taken away Kirk Cameron's power.
Yeah, it's still going strong.
Technically a failure, especially compared to Growing Pains, but also 2 seasons, 32 episodes. No.
Yeah.
The Wayans Brothers, starring Marlon and Sean Wayans. 5 seasons, 101 episodes. No, would only help their power to grow.
Hell yes.
The Jamie Foxx Show.
Woo!
Jamie Foxx, of course, is the Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
But also Garcelle Beauvau. She is also a star.
I was like, let's talk about Garcelle.
5 seasons, 100 episodes. Oh, no, no, no. No one's power is being taken away here, baby.
Hell yes.
Also, we should note, Garrett Morrison was starred in both that and Cleghorn. His power grew stronger.
Because other people were named.
The Steve Harvey Show, starring, of course, Steve Harvey.
Oh, yeah, Steve Harvey's in that.
And Cedric the Entertainer, but Steve Harvey.
Right.
6 seasons, 122 episodes. Wow, the WB was great when it was black, wasn't it? Shows were lasted.
Hell yeah. That was longevity.
No, no, no. No one's taking away Steve Harvey's power.
Family feud. My parents' favorite Family Feud host.
Good. The Tom Show, starring Tom Arnold. 1 season, 19 episodes.
Power taken away.
I think possibly, yeah, power taken away. Number 2 on the call sheet was Ed McMahon.
Mm.
Crazy.
All right.
Nikki, starring Nikki Cox. 2 seasons, 41 episodes. And the show was technically capitalizing off of her breakout stardom on Unhappily Ever After on the WB. Mm. So it's like, no, like she has all the power, right?
Yeah.
But crazy. No, it was a failure. Mm. Which luckily, she bounced back, though, with Las Vegas.
Hell yeah.
On NBC, starring Josh Duhamel. So she got her power back, but she had to take her name out of the title to get her power back.
Good for her. Good for her. It's important to learn.
Reba.
Power.
Yeah, yeah, baby. 6 seasons, 127 episodes. Got the power.
Hell yes. We're talking Reba. We're talking Cheyenne. We're talking Van. We're talking Barbara Jean. These are powerful people. Not you, Brock.
Fuck you, Brock.
Fuck you, Brock.
It's on site.
Absolutely.
The Jamie Kennedy Experiment.
I mean, immensely powerful.
So powerful. 3 seasons, 62 episodes. Got a fucking movie out of it with Malibu's Most Wanted. And there's a camera there. There's a camera there.
There's a camera there.
Power. All About the Andersons.
Huh.
Starring Anthony Anderson. Unfortunately, 1 season, 16 episodes. Lost some power, but he's Anthony Anderson, so he went to Law and Order.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good.
He's fine. I'm going to include these even two in a row because like they're variety comedy shows, so I don't know if they really count, but I'm going to. Steve Harvey's Big Time Challenge, number of seasons 2. Don't know how many episodes. It just says 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. We already know about Steve Harvey's power from the Steve Harvey Show.
Very powerful.
Drew Carey's Green Screen Show. 13 episodes, 1 unaired. But at least you got the prices right, dude.
Fair enough. And The Drew Carey Show, which
we had before that.
Yeah.
That was the original power, and then this.
Less power.
And of course, Who's Line, and then he followed up with this, and then that was taking some power away.
Right.
And finally, Living with Fran, starring Fran Drescher, co-created by the powerful Jamie Kennedy.
Wow.
2 seasons, 26 episodes. Unfortunately, 6 unaired. But you know what? You can never take away Fran Drescher's power.
Never, never can, never will.
So, how does any of this relate to what we talked about? The name thing, power. Angel.
We did.
Watch
it.
All of these shows. Every single one of them, especially the black ones.
Please.
So you can understand Gunn's plight.
Or just understand Gunn, period. Like...
Angel talks to Gunn about the Jamie Foxx Show.
I really liked it. Angel's in love with Garcelle. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
He would be. Much like I am.
As everyone should be.
She's so beautiful. She's so great.
Yeah.
She's gonna bitch slap Erica Jane tonight on TV and I can't fucking wait.
I'm like, are you gonna watch Franklin and Bash just to get some Garcelle?
There are other things I'm watching. I would probably watch the Jamie Foxx show before I watched Franklin and Bash.
You should do that, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've been meaning to watch Coming to America again, and so that I can watch the sequel, because I know the costumes are really good, if nothing else. But yeah, fuck, Garcelle, I love you. If you're listening to this, and I know you are, I love you. And that's WB.
Our longest WB section yet.
And important. Deserved, and with some crucial analysis. So that's our ep. Things are looking pretty bleak. This 420 episode had no one was blazing it. I didn't like it.
I don't know. Jasmine seemed like she was blazing it.
She actually, you know what? My dream blunt rotation is a bunch of people under Jasmine's influence all speaking to me in Gina Torres's voice.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I love it.
Cool. We're done. Okay.
We killed it. If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Angel on Top Cast on Twitter and Instagram. You can go to angelontop.com to follow us on Patreon, where you can get ad-free episodes and access to the Cole Turner cast, our podcast about the main character of Charmed, Cole Turner. We have a couple episodes of that out by now. It's fun. It's cute. Please join us. If you would like to follow me on social media, you can do so at Lorgan Mudich on whatever social media platform interests you. Latoya, where can the people find you, and should they?
Pass.
You heard it here first, folks. Do not do it. Now, all of that being said, thank you so much for listening, and you are now checking out of the Hyperion. Ding, ding.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of supernatural horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the spirit?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.